Blog Talk Radio.
Birthdays. The founder of the U.S. Army Air Force, Harold, or anyone who knows Hat Arnold, he was a young aviator when Billy Mitchell was trying to promote air power back after World War One. Hat Arnold was the commander of the 8th Air Force in Britain, who worked with Chief Air Marshal Sir Arthur Harris. The U.S. Air Force, 8th Air Force, did daylight precision bombing, and the British did the bombing at night. It's a famous movie you should see, 12 O'Clock High, starring Gregory Peck. Great film about precision bombing with the B-17s. Hap Arnold died comparatively young in the 60s. He retired here in Northern California, up in Sonoma County, and they're now naming a roadway after him. We have the Nimitz Freeway, which is named after Admiral Chester Nimitz, who also retired in this area. among the other birthdays today, another military hero, controversial admiral, Lord Lewis Mountbatten, who was part of the Battenberg family. He was assassinated. He was in a boat with his grandson and an Irish youth, and the IRA blew up his boat, planted a bomb back in the 70s. He reportedly was like a lot of, well, some sailors were accused of being gay, and he was accused of being that way, but he was also commander of the Allied forces in Southeast Asia during World War II. It's a famous movie which depicts him. Noel Coward, who was gay, wrote this film, and he starred in it, called In Which We Serve. It's about a British ship in the Mediterranean during World War II. Great film. interesting character, Lewis Mountbatten. He was also the last Viceroy of India, and he chose the date August 15th, which was known as a date cursed by the stars. That was the date that India got its independence from Britain, and the partition between India and Pakistan, where millions of people were moved. The Hindus moved from what is now known as Pakistan, moved into India, and the Muslims moved into what is now Pakistan, and there were horrible atrocities along the way, all kinds of butcheries, mutilations, and Gandhi sought to prevent this. He wanted the Muslims and the Hindus to live peacefully in India. He was assassinated, interestingly, by someone who was a homosexual who plotted the assassination of Gandhi. A lot of history here, and it's all tied in with a lot of it with sexual politics. And of course, we're seeing this, it's a muted pride celebration here in San Francisco this week. This weekend will be the culmination of the so-called Pride Festival, but there's not the hullabaloo that we've had in the past, and also all the scandals and the perversion, the video voyeurs, the pedophilia, tampering with cases, rigging juries, like in the Steve Nery case, and the other case, Clive Woods, military veterans who were railroaded into state and federal prison. So this we may have reached a tipping point. It's interesting that this is also the birthday of George Orwell, who wrote the infamous book about political manipulation called Animal Farm. It's another film that people should see to understand that there are some people who think they are more equal than others. Excuse me. Now, also on this day in 1942, FDR issued an executive order ordering the end of, the end of discrimination in federal hiring. Also on this day, Governor Winthrop, English governor, came from England, governor of the Bay Colony, Massachusetts. He introduced the fork to American dining. On 1798, the Congress passed the Alien Deportation Act, where aliens who violated rights, laws of the United States, etc., and were involved in political and other corruption, were able to be deported. We need to bring this back because we have these same people who come to this country not to contribute and create, but to co-opt and corrupt. And we have with the notorious Garcia crime family at the Demosling House here in San Francisco, which you can see on Amicus Veritas YouTube. We also have this Kevin Ryan, who came here from Canada, who would rig cases, became a judge, tried to become a federal district court judge, and that was blocked because of his corruption. Half of the people in the employees in the U.S. Attorney's Office here resigned rather than work with him and put his name on their resumes. We also have the Juan Pifre case, came here from Argentina. Family was connected. The board members of the oldest bank in Argentina, dating back to the bank dated back to the 1840s. After World War II, during World War II, this bank is alleged to have received millions of dollars of stolen property and assets from Jews and other Europeans who were victimized by the Nazis, and also they reportedly still hold this money that to people like Mengele, Adolf Eichmann, Martin Bormann used as to launder money that was stolen from the Europeans during World War II. A lot of that money still has never been recovered. Also on this day, we had George Armstrong Custer didn't listen. And in 1876, he blundered into the Little Bighorn, where the Sioux ambushed him, and that was known as the Massacre of the Little Bighorn. And, of course, a lot of people think that Custer had it coming. And we have a little clip of music. Of course, there's films with John Wayne and Errol Flynn about they died with their boots on. And there's a famous song the Irish used to sing called Gary Owen. The Irish, when they got off the boats, when they emigrated and fled Ireland, the U.S. Army recruiters were there at the boat and at the wharf, and they signed up these guys who served in the U.S. Army during the American Civil War, the Mexican War, and the American Civil War. They were on both sides, the Confederates and the Union Army. And after the Civil War, they went out west, and they served on the frontier. Now, here is Gary Owen, which was one of their marching songs.
Song. Oh, we can dare and we can do, united men and brothers true, their gallant footsteps to pursue and change our country's story. Our hearts so stout have got us fame, for soon 'tis known from whence we came. Where'er we go, they dread the name of Gary Owen in glory. Our hearts so stout have got us fame, for soon 'tis known from whence we came. Where'er we go, they dread the name of Gary Owen in glory. And when the mighty day comes round, we still shall hear their voices.
I should honor today, I forgot, General Hap Arnold, who was actually, could be considered the father of the modern United States Air Force. And I think this anthem is appropriate to honor his memory.
Into the blue, and the man.
President Herbert Hoover authorized the building of the Hoover Dam or Boulder Dam. And, of course, the Air Force in the area, Nevada and Southern California, often fly over that dam. One of the great engineering feats of the of that era. And I think the Kaiser firm had something to do with the construction of that dam and many of the dams here in the West. Also on this day, in 1938, FDR, his administration, approved and got through Congress authorizing a 40-hour work week. And in 1981, and this is very relevant, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the Selective Service Act, which authorized only males could be drafted into the military services. A lot of people don't know this or have ignored this, that the Selective Service Act is still on the books, and also that when a male, whether he's a U.S. citizen or he's studying in the United States or whatever, resident here, could be naturalized, not naturalized, but land of status, has to register within 30 days for this, the U.S. Army, U.S. Selective Service Act. There are politicians, loudmouths, who have believed not to have registered for the military draft, and according to the federal rules, federal regulations, federal laws, statutes, that they are ineligible for loans, even to, we believe, to serve in public office. So we'll be bringing this up later, because there are a lot of these suspected registrants who may be in violation of the Selective Service Act and may be liable for a quitam, a lawsuit. Now, among the interesting things that have happened, we have Hillary Clinton running around promoting her ghostwritten book. I understand, I was told that she didn't write the book. She's not an author. That a Harvard Lampoon student or graduate ghost wrote her book. And, of course, some of the pictures around the web indicate that the book is not selling well, that it's been, the price has been reduced. Not only that, Hillary's credibility is below zilch. Also, the fact that there's a photo of someone brought a dog to a book signing, and I guess the caption can be that the book is a dog. Of course, he had more respect for dogs, and of course, Hillary's defendants could probably say, or may be saying, what does it matter? Hillary's political act, and those of us who study history, look at some of the controversial women throughout history who have tried to manipulate politics and engage in a lot of dirty deeds. Lucretia Borgia, part of the infamous Borgia family. And if you watch cable TV, there's a series on the Borgia family, the first crime family, Spanish family. Alexander Borgia manipulated his way into becoming pope, and of course he had fathered children, which was very controversial, to say the least. It violates Catholic celibacy laws for priests and clergy. I don't know how he got away with it, but he wasn't the only one. There was a lot of this corruption in the Catholic Church during that period. And, of course, you had Cesare Borgia, who was a military genius, but who died early. But he's also ruthless. We had Catherine de' Medici, who was Italian also. Well, the Borgias were Spanish, who came to Italy. Catherine de' Medici was of the famous de' Medici family of, I believe, Florence. She married one of the French kings. She brought her cooks to France to teach the French how to be civilized and to cook. She also was a reactionary Catholic, and at that time, in the 15th century, there were Protestants in France, believe it or not. They were called Huguenots, and she decided that they were an irritant, and the France needed to be rid of them. They were also the merchant class. So she was involved in what was known as the St. Bartholomew's Day Massacre, where thousands of Huguenots, women, children, senior citizens were brutally murdered and mutilated. Those who survived or escaped the massacre went to England, and like de Havilland, some famous names, Olivier. Though others came to America, like DuPont, and DuPonts were very prominent in Delaware. They were one of the DuPont that emigrated from France was a chemist. Started DuPont de Nemours, which was probably the country's biggest chemical company. Also, they had a governor, Pierre DuPont, and the DuPonts were quite famous here and contributed to the American Revolutionary War, and also made chemicals, rayon, that sort of thing. I think nylon stockings they developed had something to do with Lucite paint. So France lost that those creative people because of the stupid religious war that was instigated by Catherine de' Medici. And then, of course, we have Madame Lafarge, who was a character, but is believed to have been one of the people at the beginning of the French Revolution when they decided to run these kangaroo trials, putting aristocrats on trial for their alleged, and some more had done these things, violations of French citizens' civil rights. And, of course, the guillotine spoke. If you study the history of France during that period prior to the storming of the Bastille, you'll see that the aristocrats who owned horses and carriages used to run people down in the street. And, of course, then Dr. Joseph Guillotin, the doctor who invented the guillotine, put these people on trial. And then their fate was to be executed, and it was, of course, the guillotine. And one of the worst fates of execution by the guillotine was being executed facing the blade when it came down. Must have been a horrible sense of some people probably have a heart attack, and that would have been merciful than having a blade come down to your throat just as you see this blade come down and cut your head off. Among the other questions about this Bergdorf thing was, did he or did he not collaborate with the enemy or communicate with the enemy? Now, there's a case in the Military Law Journal about a guy named Anderson who was communicating, quote, with the enemy. It was about the same time, and, of course, he was court-martialed for this. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with Bo Bergdahl, but it's I noticed that a lot of the hoopla about him being a prisoner of war and everything, and we had to bring him home and that sort of thing. There's some serious unanswered questions which need to be answered. Did he or did he not communicate with the enemy? Did he throw down his rifle and whatever his military equipment and then join the Taliban? This is going to be very interesting. And also, some people considering the Taliban, which are, which have a habit of molesting young males, there may be more to this whole story of Bergdorf as a young man. A good-looking young man, and God knows what happened. The British newspapers have reported that the Taliban were a bunch of pedophiles and perverts and were predatory homosexuals. So this should be interesting to get the whole story, if we ever get it. Of course, we have the history of treason with Benedict Arnold during the American Revolutionary War, where he sold the plans to West Point, and that was thwarted. And, of course, Major Andre, who was the British spy in the British Army, he was captured. He was hung, and then the British captured our spy, Nathan Hale, and he was hung. And Benedict Arnold joined the British Army. After the Revolutionary War, he fled to England, and the English despised him because they considered him they didn't trust him and considered him a turncoat, and, of course, he died early. Now, an interesting case has come down from the U.S. Supreme Court. They're not talking about it among the bicycle agenda propagandists. Is the 8 U.S. Supreme Court justices out of the 9 voted to grant a hearing and upheld the complaint of a guy named Brandt in Wyoming who complained that land was being taken along railroad lines and being given. This land was being given to bicycle pathways, and there's more to this. Now, it's interesting that Stephen Breyer, one of the justices who granted the petition of Brandt. Breyer has been involved in 3 bicycle accidents. We don't know if any of this was his fault, but we find this interesting. We'll be back Friday. We hope to have this interview with Jack Cashel, famous author. We're working on that and other things. And go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site to see the 2014 activity in the San Francisco Bay to Breakers, where nudity, dogs, and drinking was banned, but they did it anyway. And, of course, there'll be more coming up. So we'll end with our usual politics and poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you 5. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We got to pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Impulse.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
I suppose we should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one, I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bat out.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Need a game for children, need a game is rough.
Politics or poker, which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Bet 'em.